Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online, further details and showtimes online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics, and today we're talking about movies that we see deliberately to turn ourselves inside out.
Well, there was a time a couple of weeks ago when you probably admitted that you tear up at movies, and I wouldn't admit it, even though I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you? I do, like, I'm real easy target. I'm a real easy target. I will cry, you know, if you provide me the emotional cue, I will provide you with the tears. Now, I know you don't cry often. I mean, is it a hard thing for you to do?
No, it's not. But it's because it's so private and dark and nobody's really watching me, I think it's easier for me to do. If it were out in the open, such as we're at Gateway here, you wouldn't find me crying much at all.
Is that right?
Yeah. But
well, see, that's interesting because over the years, I've always assumed you don't cry as easily as I do.
No, and I think that's probably true, but
okay.
You're a pretty good tearing up guy.
Yeah.
And you, the way you are, you'll admit to it immediately. I might not admit to it even though I did.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Is that for me, just because I cry at a movie doesn't mean it's any good. You know what I mean?
That's not right. Yeah.
Like, I don't equate that with being a good film. That's just my emotional makeup. I can oftentimes let myself in to a moment like that, even if it's been shoddily constructed.
Sure. And I'm much the same way if in a particular circumstance, for instance, between a mother and a son, something related to family, that can get me going. Perhaps because I love my family as you love your family, and anything related to kids and mothers and fathers and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for instance, in E.T.
Okay.
To me, that brings a real tear because I think that little character is lost and looking for home.
Yeah, for me, it brings a deluge of tears. and any number of scenes. I cry relentlessly at E.T. Beginning with the hospital scenes, you know. I even begin to cry a little early on now when they find E.T. when he's all ashen and in the ravine. You know, I can start crying right then.
Well, for me, it comes mostly toward the end when they're really breaking up.
Sure.
And he's going back, and that's probably
saying goodbye.
His mom on the spaceship.
Saying goodbye. That's
that.
Hard.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good.
A little story. When I used to babysit, when I was in college, I babysat some kids, and they were like 2, 5, and 7. And one day I put E.T. in. They had never seen E.T. And I had timed it just so that when the movie was ending, that's when their parents were coming home. And so the parents walk through the door, and their kids, all three of them, in emotional wreck. They're all weeping and crying and sobbing about E.T., and then I said, goodbye, see you later.
Oh gosh. Well, maybe similarly in The Wizard of Oz, I get some welling up there.
Oh, yeah, at the end?
Yeah, and again, it's home. I don't know what this is about home for me.
I know.
I
do the same thing.
Jeez. All right, let's take an adult tearjerker.
All right.
Casablanca. Would you agree that's a tearjerker or not?
Yeah, but I don't think I cry at that one.
Okay.
I don't cry because the emotional stakes aren't as high there for Rick. You know, Bogart is so cool that you get the sacrifice he's making, but it doesn't seem like a heartbreaking one. You
Good.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
you know
I got
that
it.
He's going to be
yeah.
all right.
Yeah.
It almost gives you, it creates a mood. Like rather than tears.
Yeah, so that's probably not a real tearjerker for me inside.
Let me ask you one. You tell me where this falls on your scales.
Okay.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah, good one. I think there's something very melancholy about that for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the dreams that come and when you fulfill a dream, and there's something really good about what Costner does in that movie, and I don't know what it is, but I identify
yeah, he's,
with him so
he's,
strongly.
Right, he's in a perfect role there for him. But what about then at the end when you know it's his dad, if you when you get that emotional that 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 moment where the film lets you know if you build it, he will come.
Okay.
He is not Shoeless Joe Jackson. He is the father.
Nice.
And they have that game of catch at the end.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Oh, yeah, sure do. Yeah.
You have to be a rubber-kneed mess at that point.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good one.
Okay.
Any other that you – I mean, I got a couple of others.
One that really gets to me a lot is – and I used to I used to love is Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that's
I
right.
still – I think that movie was ahead of its time in a lot of ways. I know that it sort of demonizes the mother, but, you know, if you can look past that, the movie was really talking about this thing that was coming where fathers were going to rise to the occasion and play more of a central role in the upbringing of their children. And Dustin Hoffman and the little boy that plays his son, I just think, have amazing chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something really poignant about that relationship.
Again, father, son, even mother, it's family related. So how do you identify with Bicycle Thief?
Yeah, that's a rough one, man. But see, that's an interesting thing that movie does to you is tear that father down in the eyes of the son.
Yeah.
So when the crowd turns on the father and this little boy has to watch this man who is working so hard to put a meal on the table
yeah.
for the family, and to watch him be humiliated, and you know, there's no happy ending right there. It's not even a bittersweet ending. That's just here's a good man being humiliated in front of his child.
It's grimly realistic, which fits right in with the Italian tradition of neorealism. To me, that as you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, you know what gets me going on that is the relationship between father and son. And no matter how much humiliation goes on in the end, what adds the extra layer of tearing for me is the fact that the kid loves the father so much and the father loves the kid so much. But circumstances are just beating them down.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll probably become a bicycle thief himself. What a tragic situation.
Oh, you think that?
I think so.
I think that he'll never be that. In fact, I look at that kid's face at the end and I think he'll never put himself in a position to be humiliated like that. In other words, I look at that kid, I mean, he sees his working class father that, you know, scrambling to make ends meet. I think the look in his face right there is like, this will never happen to me.
Well, a great movie leaves it open.
Yeah.
But I think one that you and I have shared more than once about brings tears to my eyes. Shane.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we're
absolutely
talking again about family.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about ties. We're talking about the forces that tear families apart.
Yeah, and for me, I guess Shane is not a movie that plays on my family weakness. Shane is more a movie about almost like an ideal in your head that has to go away. Like nothing good can stay. That kind of notion, you know? Here's this idealized hero, and he seems to exist.
Well, it's a great point, because for me, that hero is so flawed, like the father in Bicycle Thief.
Mm-hmm.
As the film progresses, you begin to see the flaws in the personality of Shane, for instance. He's not iconic. He's not just some kind of a statue. He's a real person who has some problems. And so I see that as the kid growing up, learning, recognizing the difference between his workaday father and the heroic father. And,
right.
You know, as you were inferring, of course, the heroic ideal has to ride off into
right.
the sunset. It
right, right.
It can't stay around, and particularly if it's murdered.
I do cry at that film now. Here's one that you want to go back to Italy for a second.
All right.
One that, for any movie lover, I think is the tearjerker to end all tearjerkers. And not only do I sob when I see this film, but you might catch me visibly shaking.
Oh, right.
Or trembling is Cinema Paradiso.
Oh, well, knew you were going there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one for, and not just because we all love movies and we had, maybe as kids, we had some experience, which first brought us into the theater, mm-hmm. which first made us see the magic of theater, or somebody who loved, some older person who loved theater so much, loved a motion picture so much and brought us to it. It's also because we get to see the young man as an accomplished professional who has to go back, revisit that dream, that paradise that he once had.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's mostly about finding that other person in your life that is as devoted to the art of cinema as you are, and the things that you share with that person. You know, there are people, I can remember my aunt, you know, she was probably the person who played the biggest role in my life as far as my love of film. You know, I would spend the night at my aunt's house and we would watch Godzilla and we would watch all these cop shows and, you know, having that person and when they leave and then for them to have left a gift for you that, a gift of breadcrumbs that leads you back to that relationship. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, that's a very nice way to say we're probably going to be loving cinema until we die.
Yeah.
And who's going to cry?
I am. I'm going to start crying right now.